And now some important words from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, an engagement of services to be offered, and only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Here he is. Here I am. And we are ready, and we're going to start popping our peas. Right, Scott? We got to pop our peas. Pop it like it's hot.
All right.
Okay. Kalen, our compliance officer, who reviews every show, who's also the president of Holland Financial, keeps us straight. And in addition to adhering to the proper compliance procedures, he's also going to give us a little bit of, what do you call that? Speech, I guess, a little bit of speech critique. So thank you for that, Kalen.
I think he was trying to be helpful.
He is very helpful. I've had Kalen working with me now for over 12 years. He's always helpful and bears honorable mention. So there you have it, Kalen. Well, speaking of honorable mention, let's get to it.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
All right. Tell me about my favorite type of market.
Another just steady, easy Wednesday market. Dow Jones up 83 points, S&P up 11 points, NASDAQ up 31 points. Big move on gold, 47 on gold.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is speculation that during Chairman Bernanke's press conference, he was alluding to the fact that they are willing to do another QE if they feel like they have to. They don't feel like they have to right now. But they're willing to do it, which bodes well for gold if they do happen to do it. So
because
I think gold moved on that.
Because it's a perception that it holds its value versus currencies that fall when you put more currency in the market.
Yeah, gold is a traditional inflationary hedge. And so more money in the market means more inflation, means...
Crisis hedge. I think the stock market and other stuff will do better than gold, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, gold back over $1,700 an ounce, so... But a nice just steady market today. Fed kept its Fed's funds range unchanged near zero, as we expected.
Now you're doing something with your F's.
I know. I'll hear about
you
it tomorrow.
You pop your P's and now you're freaking your F's.
I'll get it tomorrow.
All right. Getting freaky with your F's.
Expecting not to boost interest rates until at least 2014. Probably later would be my guess. Also downgraded their outlook for economic growth this year to between 2.2 and 2.7%, but also pruned its unemployment rate, which we all know is sort of a phantom number, saying that it should fall to about 8.2%.
I wish they would just talk about, stop with the percentage, because you know, there's an old joke in the world of finance that you can make percentages whatever you want them to be. Whatever you want them to be, it's
especially
really
that,
easy.
Especially the unemployment number.
Because you play with the nominator, denominator, play with the numerator, all that stuff, and you can make it what you want. Just tell me how many people are out of work, who are trying to find a job.
Yeah.
13 million. Okay, how hard was that?
Yeah, so that was the big news from the Fed. Apple really led the NASDAQ today. As we said, the NASDAQ up 31 points. They just completely crushed their earnings expectations. So they were up 7% on the day.
Wow.
And for a $430 stock, that's a pretty big move.
Well, they kind of stalled out a little bit earlier in the year, actually toward the end of last year.
Well,
they were a little stalled, right?
Well, we have talked about this, particularly with earnings announcements. Right after Mr. Jobs died, they did an earnings announcement, and it was a horrible earnings announcement, and there wasn't anything they could do about it because the current CEO was no longer with them. This earnings announcement that they did on Tuesday, well, it's the new CEO, and look how great he's done, and there's most certainly was some, let's call it, shifting of calendar.
Are you suggesting, Scott, that large corporations that are publicly traded would in any way manage or try to control their earnings that they report?
I am not suggesting it. Saying it outright.
Fill those flower pots up.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's no question that that's what happened. But bottom line is they sold a ton of iPhones and iPads. So they have, as of today, passed ExxonMobil as the world's most valuable company.
Wow.
Yeah, truly remarkable. In other news, Advanced Micro Device gained after that chip maker beat their earnings estimates. Citigroup said they are considering more layoffs in the securities and banking unit this year if revenue doesn't pick up. Roche Holdings is offering $5.7 billion in cash to buy U.S. gene sequencing company Illumina in a hostile takeover bid. That stock was up 40-plus percent today.
Now, wait a minute. What's the name of the company that's making the acquisition?
Roche Holdings. They're a Swiss pharmaceutical company.
How do you spell
company.
That?
R-O-C-H-E.
Sounds like Roche, but it's Roche.
I say Roche.
Okay. All right.
Treasury prices were higher. Government auctioned $35 billion in five-year notes. You want to guess the yield? Don't check your computer.
I won't. Five years?
5 years.
Five-year note. 0.8%.
0.89%. That's right in there. Bid to cover 3.17. What that means is that for every dollar that the Treasury wanted to borrow, there were $3 willing to be given. That means there's a lot of demand.
Well, at the rate we're going, I don't think we're going to have any problem fulfilling everybody's orders and requests for debt.
Yeah, we keep spinning it out there, but that tells you there's high demand. So I see that as a good thing. On the economic front, pending home sales fell 3.5% in December. So, you know, mixed news on the home front, kind of across the board.
Well, I think a lot of that is that, you know, a lot of activity, people got excited. And I tell you, I keep seeing the realtors hiring agents. So I think there's going to be a lot of activity in 2012. There's, of course, this tremendous inventory glut that they've got to work through. It's a lot of inventory.
There's a lot of inventory. There's also still a lot of what they call shadow inventory, which means that mortgages who will likely be foreclosed upon but are not currently foreclosed upon.
The bank's waiting.
Yeah, the banks are just waiting.
And the banks
like
got stuff. They're going to hold on to putting that inventory. They're gonna have to push that on. You know what? I'll give you an analogy for our listeners. It's a lot like a car dealership starting the 2012 year, still having all of its inventory it got on January of 2011. So it's like they've got a whole year's inventory saying, wait, we don't want the new stuff yet. We got to sell the old stuff. And, you know, Mayday, friends, Mayday, our loss is your gain. You know, they need to get it off the lot.
Yeah, the shadow inventory in that area is going to be a big, big one. So U.S. home prices, this will give you an idea of how much of an impact foreclosures have. U.S. home prices down 4.3% from a year ago. But if you strip out foreclosures and other so-called distressed sales, prices down only 0.6%.
So flat.
Yeah, so the healthy housing market, I think, is okay. It's the distressed market.
So the good news here is we have flat for 2011 in terms of pricing.
Yeah, I think
that's good news.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of encouraging signs about the housing market bottoming out.
I'll take that. So housing market doing better, not hitting it out of the park, but doing better. Talk a minute about deflation. Are we going to have to do? Well, you know what? Let's do that after the break, Lisa. We're going to take our break just a little early. I want to come back and talk about this new spectra of inflation risk, but it's deflation, not inflation. Stick around.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelations inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read will find you clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
That just makes you want to get up and dance, let me tell you. Well, speaking of getting down, deflation.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on? We got the risk of deflation actually looking like it's becoming an issue on the global market.
Yeah, there is a lot of talk about deflation, most specifically in Europe, and even more specifically than that, in the European countries that have real significant debt problems. As a matter of fact, George Soros came out just on Wednesday at the big conference that they're having in Switzerland and said that that Germany forcing debt-laden countries in Europe to enact austerity and strict austerity will push Europe into a deflationary debt spiral, is what he said.
So he's saying don't do it.
He's saying don't do it, and not only that, he's saying provide stimulus as much as you can, and if you have to do it with a euro bond, meaning making it everybody's problem, then get going.
You know, that's just crazy. For those people that don't know Soros, he's a big currency trader, right?
Yeah.
That's how he's made his money, and investing in a lot of different things.
He always has his own axe with him to grind.
Yeah. It sounds like he brings a grind wheel with him too, but
yeah,
I don't get that. You know, so the countries that are putting up the money are saying, "Hey, look, this is what we have to do," and he's saying, "No, let them just do whatever they want and just keep giving them money."
Yeah, he's saying print money as fast as he can.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And what he's saying is that if they go into a if the debt laden countries go into a deflationary spiral, then they're paying back debt with more money than they borrowed, right?
Well,
because the money is worth more, it's the opposite of inflation.
You're either good for your
when they borrowed it.
You're either good for your debt or you're not. And
the problem with deflation is it's an impossible cycle to break.
It is, and it's not good, and it's not so. We'll move on before I say something I shouldn't about that commentary from Mr. Soros. But the deflation risk is really gives us an indication of the danger of having large amounts of debt, and the International Monetary Fund actually stepped out and said, "Hey, look." And this is a report from Reuters, quoted the International Monetary Fund, actually cautioning the United States and Japan on the debt that right now, hey, your debt may look attractive because it's always compared to what.
Right.
But, you know, down the road, that could change and it could really become a serious issue.
Yeah, which I'm sure the Washington politicians kind of snickered a little bit when they said, wait, who's telling us this now? But the fact is that, as you and I have discussed, we can see the roadmap of where we're going if we don't do something about it.
I know we don't want it to end up. We don't want our ship to dock over in Greece. That's not good.
Yeah.
So is this is kind of a loaded question. We're seeing these nice and pretty, what I call these nice and pretty days of, you know, 50 to 100 points, and it also down 50 to or so. Nice and low volatility.
Yes.
What does that mean? Does that mean we're going to have a good year, or is some of the enthusiasm going to wane as some of the stimulus goes away and some of this other stuff that has driven the performance?
Well, you know, one thing we can do with volatility is we can measure it with a quantitative device called the VIX.
Oh, this sounds exciting.
Well, I'm going to give you the
quick version.
Is
that like a vapor rub you put on your chest?
No. It's all the VIX does is it measures the volatility of options prices for the next 30-day cycle. So if options prices are pretty flat, then the VIX is low. It tells you that there's very little because options prices move significantly faster than stock prices. At the end of the summer, the VIX was well over 40. Right now, the VIX is well inside of 20. So you can interpolate that to mean that volatility is half of what it was.
That's a good way to say it.
Over the summer. I mean, that's a significant reduction in volatility. I think part of the concern that I'm seeing in a lot of places in the marketplace is there's just no volume. So if there's no volume and there's no volatility, that really tells you that we're largely directionless, I think.
And that everybody's kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. And there's a concern about taking any action.
Yeah, there definitely is a lack of appetite for significant purchases or significant sales for that matter at this point in the investment community.
But we're still seeing projections of a 2% or so GDP for the year.
Yeah, but keep in mind though, we're talking about two really different things because remember we talked about the economic growth of Brazil and India and in those BRIC countries last year, but the stock markets were horrendous. So the two do not necessarily go hand in hand.
Well, manufacturing is up.
Yeah, manufacturing has been good across the board.
I mean, that's been surprisingly a strong point for the U.S. market. And it's a mixed bag, different companies reporting their earnings. But overall, there's a positive tone. And again, the problem we're seeing is where we're manufacturing and where those manufactured products go. Our manufacturing is up. It would be up a lot more if we could have the exports to Europe.
Yeah, the Richmond Fed came out with a report just a couple of days ago that said the manufacturing segment in Richmond, which is not the hotbed of manufacturing, but That index is at 17 for January compared to 3 in December and 1 in November, a significant uptick in manufacturing in that area. Same thing came from Philadelphia Fed and the Chicago PMI. And as a matter of fact, just on Wednesday, President Obama is on the road, and he's saying that he wants to restore a basic promise of America, and it starts with manufacturing.
Okay, so I'm good
focus.
With that.
Yeah,
let me hear
focus.
Some specific details of how it's going to help without having to mess up something with taxes that's going to hurt somebody else.
Yeah, he's in Iowa, Nevada, Colorado, and Michigan, you know, pretty heavy manufacturing states with that same message. Try to get that out.
Okay. Well, what are, you know, we've talked on the show here lately about some of the big what-ifs in 2012. And again, we started the show talking about, let's just be candid about what we're dealing with in terms of jobs, 13 million people out of work that want to work. What if the job market falters? What if the manufacturing uptick, companies continue to buy computers and smart machines that can do the work instead of hiring people?
Yeah, well, in context of the stock market, if we start to see the job recovery falter, we'll see more of the growth type of industries suffer the most. So as you say, manufacturing, the safe havens will come back into favor.
Consumer staples,
utilities,
soap, food.
Yeah, I think
bread.
We'll see a continuation of pressure on yields in the bond markets, even though there's no return. But the jobs numbers are really seen as the canary in the coal mine of economic recovery. And if we see a reversal of those numbers, then I think investors will get nervous.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll see if we can get those canaries to sing.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 13 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN. To schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
All right, and we're back. Okay, I've got a comment. You know it's coming. I got to talk about the what's going on in politics a little bit, because what I really want to discuss is some of the strategies that we may need to take if we see higher taxes coming. One of the things that I think sometimes the politicians don't get, and a lot of people don't maybe understand, but smart money is going to do the best with whatever the tax policy is. And so let me give you my perspective as a financial planner. Let's say that whatever happens in terms of the political environment, not so much a specific outcome, but just whatever happens results in the tax cuts that were put in place previously, they go away, and the full weight of these tax increases go into effect. That would mean that the people at the higher end of the tax bracket are going to be paying 43% in income tax. That will be their rate on their earning if they're over a certain amount. And if they earn enough, then they'll pay 43% on the whole shebang. So, and that's not including payroll tax. I'm only talking about income tax, because remember, payroll tax and income tax are two separate things. Income tax funds the government's activities, defense, social services. Payroll tax is a prepayment. You're paying for Medicare in advance, and you are paying for Social Security in advance. So, talking about income tax. So, let's say that these increases come. Well, from a financial planner standpoint, if I have clients that are going to be affected and who are concerned about these higher rates, which they would be, then we're going to be looking at what will be the impact on the portfolio. What do we need to do to protect your portfolio, protect your retirement lifestyle, to protect you so that you can retire someday, to keep your taxes as low as possible in accordance with tax law? We're not talking about cheating. We're not talking about hiding money, just to legitimately reduce your the tax liability to what is required by law. And that is completely within every person's right to minimize their taxes, not to avoid, but to minimize. So what will happen, because again, from a financial planner standpoint, what I'm going to look to do is say, okay, what do I need to do to help my clients minimize their taxes? Well, if we start seeing, for example, not only a high ordinary income tax bracket, which is from interest and the like, or from salaries and wages, but interest specifically, then we're, and also if they raise the dividend rate, maybe it goes from 15 back up to 20, 25, 28, 31, whatever it goes to for dividends, and capital gains goes back up, similar type of increases, or dividends get taxed at the exact rate as ordinary income back up to 43%. Stock market's going to take a hit. That will be a direct impact. But from a specifically from a financial planning standpoint, what's going to happen is advisors like me and other financial planners are going to say, okay, how do we address this? I'm going to look at my client's situation and I'm going to minimize taking money out of things that are going to trigger that ordinary income. We're going to look at reducing what we take out of IRAs and maybe take more from other non-qualified already taxed money. Or we're going to only take the minimum distribution out of an IRA and we're going to look for other ways to get the money. We're going to shelter and tax defer income into the future. We're going to look at tax deferred annuities. You know, one of the things that I think the politicians miss is that with unless they radically change the tax law, which I don't know that they're going to go that far, but you look at something like an IRA or a tax deferred annuity, everything you earn inside of those vehicles is not subject to current income taxation. So it's a little bit of choosing when you want to expose your income to taxation. So for example, let's say that the highest income tax bracket goes up to 43% for ordinary income and earnings from IRAs and annuities and things like that. Well, smart money, wealthy money is going to push off into the future. So instead of taking money out of the IRA, for example, or an annuity, they're going to take it from other sources and in effect push off pulling income out of those vehicles until it's a safe time to do it again. So it's like you see these little animals on the safari shows, and all of a sudden they pop their head up and they're looking for a safe time to come out of their hole. Well, that's what it is for people who are in the higher brackets. They're going to go into something that reduces the amount of income that is exposed to taxation, and they'll wait until it's safe again, meaning until there's a change of tax policy, more favorable political environment for the taxes to not be so high when they're being hammered. 43%, I think, is hammering people who are at the higher end. Yes, they make more money, but you're hammering them. They are the people that, from a pure business standpoint, they are the people that create jobs. Argue about it all you want, politicians. The reality is the person that has more money who is not working for somebody else drawing a paycheck, which is everybody needs to work and our society needs everybody to work to be fully generating the kind of economic activity that benefits everybody. But the risk takers have to be rewarded. And if you say to somebody, you know what? No, you don't get to, I know you paid tax on this money already, but no, if you start this business, nope, you're going to get hammered on taxes if you're successful. It just is, it doesn't encourage the investment. The risk is not worth it. If you tell them they only get to keep $6 out of $10 of what they make because they're taking that risk, well, I just don't think people are going to be as excited and they'll look for other things. So we've got to be real careful reducing or disincenting the people that create jobs, because what we'll end up with, if there's nobody who wants to take risk by investing their money in mutual funds or nobody that wants to take a risk by starting businesses, well, then guess what we end up with? We end up with one big fat CD that pays nothing. Okay, CDs pay 1.5%. CDs, if we end up with that kind of world, which is not where we want to be, it would just be so counterproductive for the growth of our country. We've got to grow our way out, and we're going to keep talking about this because it so affects your money. Stick around for your 2-minute warning.
Do you ever think about the effects inflation will have on your retirement savings? Can you remember when gas was just $1 per gallon? Or when you could buy a house for less than what most cars sell for these days? Is it possible to keep pace with inflation and protect a portion of your portfolio from stock market volatility? A registered investment advisor can show you your options. Certified financial planner David Holland and his team of fee-based investment advisors are ready to help. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit us at www.davidholland.com.
9 cents. That's it. 9 cents is all it takes to feed a person if you donate wisely. Have you ever been approached on the street or the side of the road by somebody asking for a couple of bucks and thought, where's my money going? Well, when you choose to donate to Halifax Urban Ministries, that same $2 can buy 20 meals and will be used to win the fight against homelessness. I am a proud supporter and I want to encourage you to put your money towards something real. Visit HalifaxUrbanMinistries.org to find out how you can help or call 386-252-0156. 386-252-0156.
With so many financial products and services available today, do you ever wonder what the best income strategy is for your situation? Call Holland Financial to receive a free educational DVD on retirement income strategies. Certified financial planner David Holland discusses some of the income planning strategies used by retirees and baby boomers. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Yes, it is. And the rules have changed, ladies and gentlemen. The rules have changed for retirement. It's a whole new world. It's a brave world, I hope. You know, the reality is that so much has changed. Companies don't give out pensions nearly like they used to. A lot of companies have frozen their pension benefits where people are no longer accruing or growing a retirement benefit. They'll get what they get, but they're not going to really add a lot. Companies have gone to 401k to be more globally competitive and to keep their labor costs under control. Healthcare costs continue to go up, which help it makes it hard for companies to give flat-out salary increases because healthcare costs have been going up 5 to 10% a year for what seems like the last 10 to 15 years, and that's true. Once upon a time, I've done some health insurance work for companies, and it has rapidly increased. That was in 1992, 93, 94, right in there. So we're talking about 18, 19 years ago. You know, health insurance was remarkably less expensive than it is today, vastly exceeding the inflation rate. So the reality is a lot of things have changed, and so we've got to look at retirement differently. And we no longer can count, a lot of people can no longer count on the continuation of employment income through pensions. Social Security has become a political football. It should be part of everybody's retirement plan. Everyone should get what they bargain for. As I alluded to earlier in the show, we're prepaying Social Security. Well, then we should get what we pay for, and we should get what we paid for and what we're supposed to get as we make these continuation of payments. But it's becoming questionable. So really, the person, the individual, is much more responsible out of necessity, not necessarily because out of choice, to figure out how to do their retirement planning correctly. And the rule book has changed. You've got to develop your own plan, and that is what financial planning is all about. So don't be afraid. You've got to look at that and make sure that you're going to have your money last you the rest of your life. And that is what we're going to continue to talk about on the show. So stick around with me on future shows, and I will talk to you then. Thanks for being with me.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.